Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Welcome to another edition of Recalibration Matrix. I am your host, Jay Larson. And joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
For some reason, today we're having an edition and not an episode of Recalibration Matrix, but whatever. We'll roll
with
it.
I can live with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, how are you doing, Greg?
Oh, Jay, I'm great. I just got my second Pfizer vaccination shot.
Woo, woo.
Yay! Soon I'll be immune. Sort of, for a while.
Soon you will have fully formed vaccination superpowers.
That's right. I'm the incredible vaccinated guy.
I'm about Yay. 2 weeks off from my second Moderna, so that is exciting.
Yay. So you're like 80% vaccinated. That's pretty cool.
It's still like 4 weeks from... I'm basically like in Invincible right now, where, you know, the son is learning his superpowers from his dad.
That's where you are?
Yeah, that's where I am in my vaccination superpowers.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Whenever I got people on that comic, I always had to convince them to buy two volumes, the first two volumes of Invincible. Uh-huh. Because the first volume is very boring and backstory.
I wouldn't say it's boring.
It's basically just showing the world, though.
Okay.
I don't know.
I've read all of the comics. I'm actually likely going to reread them soon with a friend, because I told him about the Amazon show, and he liked the Amazon show quite a bit. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I mean... I've been reading it for ages, so.
Anything else been going on in the life of Greg?
I played with one of our mutual friends, Nick, at my apartment. I have a little tabletopper, and it was really fun. Hopefully, I get to play more with people I love, so.
Well, you're going to have to pry one Mr. Chili Winters away from his CPA studying and let him... relax at least once in a while.
Seriously. But hopefully I'll be able to convince him to come over soon. Yeah, that'd be really nice.
What are you potentially thinking on conventions? When do you think you might attend your first one?
I don't know. It depends on when they're actually scheduled, because I've heard a lot of tentative scheduling. Yeah. And you know, generally I can take off if it's after the big state tests, or if it's during the summer, or if it's, you know, like safe enough, like maybe if there was like a November convention.
I think that's when Warfare Weekend is likely to happen, but yeah, I don't know.
I've never been to Warfare Weekend, so that could be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It does have, I mean, Brian and I were thinking about this recently, and we're trying to rank, like, what we're, as far as, like, when we go to a convention, which cities are the most enjoyable to visit.
Yeah.
And St. Louis / Warfare Weekend definitely came in last place.
Yeah.
But.
I don't know.
Right. And honestly, right now, I'm still kind of expecting my first one to be end of January and go to Las Vegas Open.
I would like that. That would be a good one.
Yeah, I do love Vegas as well. So that is nice. I guess the other exciting thing for me is that the people at Gameopolis, who my staff who didn't already have COVID, they've all gotten the Johnson & Johnson vaccine now. And so we're going to reopen on like the 22nd of April.
Yay.
So, well, that's I say reopen, but we've been open. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been kind of surprised. I expected our retail sales to dip more than they've had. They've actually been really strong because we haven't been doing events. We haven't had hours that go, we close at 9 or 6 instead of 9.
Mm-hmm.
But things have been, our community's been great. So that's been good. Most of our community's been great. Some of the people have been fucking assholes from just like arguing
having to wear
about
a mask.
Having to wear a mask. It's so like in Idaho Falls.
Fuck 'em.
Yeah, right. In Idaho Falls, I assume it's this way in a lot of places. I don't know. But Idaho Falls currently has like, it's one of the worst hotspots in America.
Yeah.
B, like there's all the grocery stores, et cetera. They have these signs before you go in saying like mask required, right? And then you go inside and like, depends on the store, but like in some stores, 20% of the people are wearing masks and 80% of them aren't. And so that's just kind of the norm that a lot of people have gotten used to around here, that people see a sign that says mask required and they're just like, oh, well, don't have to do that, gonna ignore it. And then my store, Gameopolis, has, I mean, it's a fairly tight space, and you know, I want to be sure that we protect the health of our employees, customers, etc. And so we have the mask mandate, and people are just get upset when that sign that says mask required to enter, that we actually mean it instead of just having it as like
decoration,
this decorative piece of paper at the doorway. Yeah. So.
Well, that's crazy, Jay. Just crazy that a private business can put requirements on a customer. Come on. It's not like that's been a part of American retail culture for years, with no shoes, no shirt, no service.
Right. I don't know.
Or, I don't know, you know, governmental protected discrimination, or we better stop now. I'm going to stop now.
Yeah. Anyway, one of my guys had the option of like the Johnson & Johnson or the other vaccine, and he didn't really
Pfizer
care.
Pfizer probably, right?
Yeah, Pfizer or Moderna both are here local. He didn't care, but he was like, oh, well, if I take the Johnson & Johnson, we can stop arguing with people that much sooner. And so he it's like, I'm calling around everywhere trying to get the Johnson & Johnson. So,
oh my.
All right. Well, we have some comics about Thor, about Captain America, Iron Man, Hela, and most importantly, about
Enchantress.
The Enchantress.
Yeah. Well, wait, before then, Jay, before then.
Okay.
Can we shortly talk about the fact that we got a new character teaser in the X-Force affiliation?
And do you want to do that here or in the bonus?
Yeah, you're right. It's probably better in the bonus. Let's talk about the comic here.
Okay.
Fucking yeah. Enchantress. The character who has never had a like really focused story on her that I want to share with us. So we have read one story with her before, but it was our Hela story. And so it's kind of funny that she comes back in a story where Hela's the bad guy. But yeah, so we read Avengers Prime issues 1-5. And I think it's important to remember that. So this is actually after a comic event we haven't read yet for the podcast. It's the Siege event. You haven't read this on your own, have you, Jay?
No, uh-uh.
Okay, so after Norman Osborn basically gained control of the world and became, you know, the lead of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he changed it into Hammer, and he had his own Avengers team that was all supervillains, like, disguised as heroes, or heroes he was, like, blackmailing. Norman Osborn basically attacked Asgard under really thin, like, logic. And it was just the big, it was basically just a giant big fight where everybody was destroying each other. And the end of this fight is that Asgard was basically destroyed, but Norman Osborn was outed as the lunatic he is. And so they could get from the dark stories to the heroic age, which was supposed to be like the return of the big three as good guys. And like, they're supposed to be friends again, even though I think in this comic they're kind of getting there. But so they start with like the destroyed Asgard. And in the story, they go to Heimdall's observatory because the portal is broken and there's like tons of energy and they need to like protect it. And they get teleported to another world. And it looks like, you know, a Thor world. So there's dark elves and giants and they're separated. So like Iron Man's suit isn't working and Captain America doesn't have a shield. And Thor is attacked by the Enchantress and a bunch of like, you know, monstrous looking minions. And so they're fighting, and in the fight, Thor loses his hammer, and he is about to be killed by Hela, who, you know, shows up, and Hela is wielding the Twilight Sword, which is a, you know, it's a creation level artifact. It's one of the most powerful things. And so Thor basically gets saved by Enchantress, who teleports him away. And so Thor and Iron Man and Captain America have to kind of figure things out and go back and fight Hela. And I think one of the cooler things is that Thor thinks they're dead. Thor thinks like that's why everybody's there. And Thor apparently has superpowers related to just being the son of Odin. And so Thor knows that like they're not actually in one of the realms. And so he thinks they're in the death realm. So we kind of have like side stories where it shows the other Avengers. So Steve Rogers like fought a bunch of elves and kind of got like a elf girlfriend. And then Tony Stark was fighting ogres and he fought the dragon Fafnir. And so they're reunited, and Thor basically convinces like all the elves and ogres and dwarves and Fafnir that, hey, we need to fight Hela. And we need to, you know, defeat her because we need to get out of hell. And so Hela is like, it's like Hela and a big army of skeletons and zombies versus everybody else. And so Thor doesn't have his hammer. And so he's almost killed by Hela. And who would come and save Thor but Enchantress, who, you know, she brings Thor back and she kind of reveals like, you know, if I have to choose death or like living with you, one of my enemies, I will choose you. And like, I like this because I think I've heard some people who are like, why is the Asgard affiliation Valkyrie, Thor, and then three enemies of Asgard? And I defend it with like, well, they would defend Asgard against non-Asgardian threats, and they would defend Asgard against the other two. So this is kind of like, you know, Enchantress will choose the right thing if she has to. And so with the help of Enchantress's magic and Thor's hammer and Fafnir's fire, they defeat Hela and like breathe dragon fire on her. And then Thor reclaims the Twilight. Well, I guess he claims the Twilight Sword from her. And then they basically rewind time back so that like the fight never happened. And Enchantress is sort of like, good job, Thor, you did it. Goodbye, I'm not gonna fight you. You have that ungodly power now. See you later. And she just leaves. And then it has the three of them. They teleport back with the power of the sword, and they seal the heroes, and then Thor gives Heimdall the Twilight Sword. And it shows, you know, oh, they're buddies, Iron Man and Thor and Captain America. What were we ever fighting about? Ha ha ha, we don't remember. I will say Iron Man actually doesn't remember because he died basically, and he was created from a backup of his brain that they like put into his body, and they struck him with lightning from Thor to like start his brain up in his heart again. So Iron Man actually doesn't remember, but haha, happy ending.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! The day is won. So this was a... Okay, I want to double check the year on this, but there's, to me... Okay, so this was published in 2017. Really? That doesn't seem right. I don't think that's correct.
No, I don't think it is.
I think it's closer to 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2010. To me, this is what comic books from the 90s feel like, where it's these like cute little self-contained goofball stories with very like minor twists and turns that are enjoyable and simple. And it's funny to me that like this is from 2010, just because to me, I think of this as like, this is like a 1995 comic. That's how it feels to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. What did you think of it?
I did enjoy it. I thought the plot was maybe a little bit basic.
Yeah.
But you know, that's okay. It was still enjoyable. I did like the artwork. There were a few places on the artwork where it felt like it was almost more like a sketch than a fully fleshed out panel, if that makes sense, or a storyboard of it.
Yeah, some of the art was very rudimentary, right? Or it would just be like the frames.
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I guess first off, is there anything on the creative team that you want to go over?
So this was written by Brian Michael Bendis, who we've read his comics before. I don't want to like get this totally wrong, sorry. But Brian Michael Bendis is one of the ultimate ultimate comic writers. He has written, you know what? I'm not so sure. I'm looking at the list really quickly. No, you know what? I'm pretty sure he wrote the House of M comics. He's written just so much. And like, he's one of the guys that Marvel will come in to write their big event comics to make sure they're safe and successful. I have always liked him most from Ultimate Spider-Man. He created Miles Morales. He really like made the Ultimate Universe, and the Ultimate Universe eventually just became what Marvel, like the tone Marvel went for, which is like modern and realistic and more diverse and kind of reflecting our current world, which is this like current decade of Marvel is probably my favorite. I've been really loving how that works. So
good.
Yeah. The art, I mean, it's Alan Davis, who is not someone I'm super familiar with. But I pulled up and he's written everything. He's done New Mutants, Spider-Man, X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Wolverine, Avengers, Captain Britain, Daredevils, which is apparently a Marvel UK comic, which I was like, oh, cool. But Alan Davis is, I'm sorry, I just want to double check something. Okay, yeah. So Alan Davis is actually the artist who worked on Excalibur, which is one of my favorite, like, weird Marvel comics. But Excalibur was a British mutant comic that was created after the X-Men got destroyed. Okay. So I like, I have a soft spot for Alan Davis for that then. Like, that's awesome. It was a cool comic, Jay. It had Captain Britain and Nightcrawler and Shadowcat and Jean Grey and Cyclops' daughter from the future Apocalypse reality, who is like a super strong psychic, and a half mutant, half elf who marries Captain Britain. It was amazing.
Nice. I will say that. So there was a. It felt like there was a fairly wide range of, I guess the quality of the art in it, mm-hmm. And a part of that was there. There also were some points that I felt were fairly big highs. One that I took a screenshot of was basically like Hela riding her
dragon.
Her dragon with like her horde coming behind her. And, you know, I look at that one and I'm just like, oh, that's a really cool drawing. So they're I don't mean it to sound like it was all bad or whatever. It felt like there was like a fairly big range of
stuff. That issue 5 also began with Thor talking to all the like assembled Norse people, and I really liked that one with all the like, you know, bugbears and ogres and trolls and dragons and dwarves, and I liked that just assemblage of like D&D Renaissance Fair characters. And I pulled it up to talk to you about it because what's really funny is there's a line where all of a sudden everyone becomes sketches like in the backgrounds, and it's very like sudden. And so if you look at it, it looks like two different artists did it to make the like crowd look bigger. And I thought that was a really funny bit because I was like, man, this looks beautiful. And then you look at the background and you notice that it's kind of a like silly trick.
So do you have any additional background on the Enchantress?
So,
well, I guess one of the things that I was hoping with this issue is that we would maybe get to know a little bit better who the Enchantress is, and you know, maybe some of her background or what her motivations are, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a little bit of that, but
yeah,
but go on.
She is just an, in my mind, she's not a very like well developed character. It's more about how she's used. She is generally either sent, she's always, her stories always to me seem like they involve like some sort of love interest. So her first appearance was Odin sent her to kill Thor's love interest so that Thor would become less interested in the human world. Later, she becomes really attached to the Executioner, who is Carl Urban's character from Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. And we see him sacrifice himself to be a hero after, like, realizing she cast him off when we read our Hela comic. But, like, they were really closely attached for a long time. Like, together they joined Zemo in the Masters of Evil. She's just always this kind of one-note character, unfortunately. And, like, she joins teams. She's not always, like, trying to destroy good guys. She's really just a self-interested, like, wizard character who she's very skilled at, like, manipulating people's love and their attraction. I don't have a lot of depth to her character, unfortunately. Like, I just don't think she's a super deep character. She's more of just a unique villain created to fuck with Thor.
Yeah, so it is kind of interesting to me that, so I don't regret that we have some of these characters like Enchantress released. I think they're cool models, fun to play with, etc. It is kind of interesting, I guess, that, so for example, we just got news about Colossus being somewhere in the upcoming pipeline, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of interesting that like we've had Enchantress for, you know, a really long time before we've seen some characters like Colossus, etc.
Yeah. I mean, I know why. I have a small bit of insight here.
Tell me why. Give me the sweet insider info.
They needed more female villains. It's as simple as that. In fact, Enchantress may be a character I suggested they add to the game.
Oh, really?
And when I say that, I mean I suggested they add Enchantress. So unique female villains are more about like how they can challenge the good guy, right? And like what they can add in that. How are they different from a lot of the other villains? And Enchantress is really unique. She's extremely powerful in like very narrow ways. She's everywhere, and she's like very you know, she actually is a threat in her like tricky ways. She does kind of fall into that like stereotype, right? Of like the manipulating woman kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's all about how you use her. There was, I think for a year or two, there was basically a storyline where Thor lost his powers and he was stuck in his human form, and him and Enchantress lived together and they were like in a relationship. And there wasn't any like shenanigans, like she wasn't controlling him. They just were like, we have this shared history, and like now that Thor is gone, you know, why don't we like live together? And which okay. is funny to me because they're having a big story where Daniel, like Thor's human persona now is a villain. And I think that's really cool. And I want to see how he like, I want him to meet Enchantress. I haven't gotten there yet, but I think that'd be really cool.
I mean, I guess another just, this is my own supposition and not like super cool insider info like Greg has with Enchantress. But I think that part of their strategy behind things is that basically if they just released like everything that was ultra popular at the very start of the game, and then just like as time on, like 3 years, 3-4 years into the history of Crisis Protocol, they're doing the characters that most people have never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be not a very good business strategy.
Yeah.
So well, I'm assuming that there is some of that involved as well.
For sure. And like, okay, so sometimes they're adding the characters because they're like a dynamically fun character to be in the game. Right. And like, I think when we get to talking about Enchantress's like table presence, she is crazy unique. Like she right. does yeah. a yeah. lot that nobody else does. And I think that's why she's in the game is because like, and I don't mean like it's because of me that Enchantress is in the game. I literally gave a list of like, you know, if you ask me to nerd out about like, hey, what are some good female villains? I gave a list of like 30 fucking characters. And then I think I eliminated like 15 of them because they were like too slutty in general.
Okay.
Like they were just like ridiculous. But, you know, like, and then they must have been like, oh, this one's really unique and we can add her to Asgard. And, you know, I think that's where it came from. But like, she's such a cool character on the table.
Yeah, she is.
In the comics, I'm like, yeah, you can see why she wasn't really added to the movies.
Right. Yeah.
She just do a lot. I'm hoping. She'll
I mean,
be
there's
in,
it's
in
possible
Thor
that at some point she will, right?
Well, so I think if you add her, you really have to add her as like a funny character, or like you have to put her in a situation that stifles her. Like, what if she tries to use her powers on someone who's asexual? That would be funny. or if she tries to like seduce a gay guy, funny, right? Like that could be really cool. You could put her in situations that are really cool. And so I think hopefully we'll see Enchantress as like a funny character, or even like, you know, just she's working with Valkyrie or something. Valkyrie and Enchantress can get together, eh? Because that's they said that Valkyrie's gonna look for her queen, eh?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I just want to make everything gay, Jay. Like, that's what they need to do.
I did watch Deadpool 2 recently, mm-hmm. and I did enjoy how well they did, like, the two gay characters in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
I forget the Negasonic Teenage Warhead and the Japanese girl that was just, uh-huh. like, silly.
She's like, oh, yeah, Deadpool would be, like, making little hearts at her and stuff.
Yeah. And that was funny.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jay. I think in the like I read 3 Enchantress storylines that I thought would be good, and honestly it was this one or the Hela story that we already did that I thought were kind of some of my favorite versions of her. And I like this one because it's showing that yeah, Enchantress will work for Thor. Like she's a member of Team Asgard. If she has to be, right?
Well, or I kind of got the impression that she's someone who is her own agent or defines what the things she want are. And so if that happens to align with Thor at the time, then that's who she'll work with.
That's fair. Yeah. And she does spend a lot of time just like on Earth and dealing with mortals, probably because she likes manipulating them and she can get stuff from them easier.
So I guess we can do the obligatory WTF mate Marvel discussion now about Enchantress's outfit. Did it even blip on your radar, or was it just like,
honestly, Jay, Enchantress's outfit is so much like less goofy and stupid than what I consider stupid. So she's basically wearing like what are they called? A girdle.
Uh-huh.
And then like it's got a skirt attached to it. A corset, thank you. So it's like a corset, and then she's got those like funny circle leggings. And then she's got like bare shoulders and lots of cleavage. Then she has her little crown, and then she has like arm gauntlet covering things.
It reminded me of Emma Frost in a lot of ways.
I mean, yeah, sort of. Like Emma Frost needs to show a lot more skin, but yeah.
The other thing that was kind of funny to me is that it felt like on a number of the drawings of her leggings, like if you wore those pants, this is such a stupid thing to bring up. I'm sorry. But like they're drawn so that like the circles are just like straight circles with no bend in them. But if you're wearing those pants, they're going to bend around your legs, and it's not going to be just like a straight circle. And so I thought it looked kind of weird, but that is my like hypercritical art critique of the day, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think it's like, it's fine, Jay. I don't care. Her costume's fine. It's silly, but like, it's not bad enough that my grandma would like tear the page out.
Well, I guess we just need some gender equality with Thor and Assless Chaps or something, and then I'll probably stop noticing.
I agree, Jay. If we're gonna sexualize women, we should do it the same to dudes. We need Captain America to be wearing booty shorts or something, you know? Like,
so speaking of Captain America, he's kind of on his game in this one.
Okay. Yeah. So in the beginning, is it in the beginning that they're talking about like
Iron Man asks Captain America, he's like, so I've got this question, and Captain America's like, oh great, there's no way this is gonna go well. And Iron Man's like, so did you hook up with so-and-so? And when you're both on the Avengers, and Captain America's like, what? No, that's crazy. And Iron Man's like, oh, because she totally said that you guys hooked up. It was just, I don't know, the whole thing.
And then, so then the next part is Thor's like, that may have been me. And like, I'm just like, what? And it's like a superheroine too, right? Like it's,
yes, uh-huh.
And that's how they show that they're like friendly again, is that they're talking about like, remember that superhero? Did you do that? Did you hook up with her? Wait, I need to find that page. It's in the end, right?
No, I thought it was more towards issue 2 or something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's when they team back up in the village. Yeah, and that was like, right, it's showing that they're back together, right? It's showing that they're friendly, and that like, you know, things are going to be getting back to normal, and I liked that. I thought that was nice. But it's also
then
shitty and kiss and telly, but whatever.
Yeah. Then one of the elves is like, totally has the thing for Captain America.
Yeah, there's a lot of wistful looks between the two. And right before Captain America gets teleported away, he's like, oh, lady, elf lady.
Were there any things that didn't work for you in the comic arc?
Honestly, not. It was all solid.
Yeah.
I liked, I pretty much liked everything. Even like there were a couple places that didn't go anywhere, but they built the like the believability. Like for example, Enchantress tries to pick up Mjolnir, and then like she tries to pick up the Twilight Sword, and that wakes Hela up. And then later Hela tries to pick up Mjolnir, and then she tries to destroy it by like hitting it with the Twilight Sword. And then that doesn't work, so she tries to summon the spirit of Thor's grandfather to pick up the hammer, and she kind of tricks him. She says, oh, Thor's mm-hmm. dead, pick up the hammer, and, like, you know, you can gain things. And he tries, and he goes, the enchantment's still there, Thor's alive, and he tries to attack her. And I was like, I like that. I like that, you know, she's like, I need to use the hammer. Like, how am I going to do that? There were... I think overall it was a very solid story. It's cheesy and it's very self-contained and but I think for what it is, like I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I would agree. So if there was someone you were going to add into the MCU, who would you pick?
I mean, I feel obligated to say Enchantress, but I think I'm gonna go with Fafnir instead. Like, I want Thor to fight a big dragon. That or bring Tony Stark back as like a AI backup.
Mm.
We need Robert Downey Jr. back.
It's true. We do. Yeah.
Oh, it was funny. Can we talk about how Tony Stark ran around naked for a while because he didn't have his armor?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Like, he had to, like, jump on the horse naked and, like, ride away and... It amused me a lot. And see, they could have gone for some exploitation there, right? They could have gone That's for right. some like sexy.
And really though, shots. if they're going to be exploiting, it ought to be America's ass. But
mm-hmm. My favorite part about the naked thing was Iron Man's or Captain America's like, why are you naked? And he goes, it's my new armor. It's see through. And I was just like, oh my god.
Any supporting characters stand out to you?
I mean, no, Enchantress is definitely the character that stood out. I think she, like, it's cool to see villains work with the good guys. So she was definitely a standout.
So overall, does this one get a thumbs up from you?
Yeah, it gets one thumbs up. You know, I get two, as normal, I get two thumbs up and Jay gets one.
Oh,
so
okay.
This one only gets one from me.
Okay, it'll get one from me as well. Okay. So it gets two thumbs up.
Two out of three.
Out of the three in the recalibration matrix grading structure.
Oh, it's Patsy Walker that they're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny. I like Patsy Walker. She was a pretty girl comic, and then they made her into a superhero later. She's actually in the Jessica Jones Netflix show.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's very, like, flamboyant and, like, talkative and stuff. And I think her and Tony Stark are hooking up in the new comic for Iron Man.
Huh.
Like, I think he is poor and living with her.
Hmm.
So, interesting.
Well, any final thoughts on this comic arc?
I think it's a really solid comic, but it does feel a little dated and, like, it doesn't feel modern in a lot of ways, and I'm not exactly sure how to like pinpoint that right now, but I still think if you're interested in a fun Enchantress comic, like this is about as great as you're gonna get for like expressing she's not all bad.
Cool. So next week is going to be Sabretooth, correct?
Yeah. Now that we know he's on X-Force.
Yeah.
And we're going to be reading Wolverine from 2003, so one of the more recent Wolverine comics. And we're going to be reading issues 50 through 55.
Awesome. All right, we'll check those out. Smash the subscribe button on Patreon, and you can listen to our bonus episode where we're going to talk about the affiliation news. We're going to talk about Enchantress and Game, and we're going to talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. And the 1 hour Zemo dance that released.
Yeah.